Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And then when I signed, I'm like, okay. And then like a few days, few weeks go by, whoa, joined the bond. I said, oh, wow. That's what I tell everybody. I think it's because of me.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my co-host, Neruda Perdomo. For those of you who don't know, I'm an elite company right now, two-time Empire champ. You guys just won the chip, bro. So I want to start with that. Just talk to me about, like, I don't know if you want to say favorite memories, if you want to talk about the game. Like, I'm just going to give you the floor. You could talk to me about that.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate the nod, my boy. Definitely a fire weekend, man. It was a great atmosphere, bro. I mean, it was a historic matchup, to say the least. You know what I'm saying? Like, Utica versus Poly. Like, first time Poly's in the EA conference, crosstown rivalry. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you guys were playing Alfred State for the conference trip, like, the whole town would have been at the game. And that's how it was for Utica. Like,
yo, it was lit.
Bro, we walked into warmups and, like, I'm walking out into the court with, like, Hagen down and them. And the crowd just starts, like, booing us. But then our Utica crowd is like, nah, we're not having that. And they get louder than the Poly crowd. So everyone is just screaming. And like, I seen a lot of people that I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this shit. I'm like, I seen a lot of people that like I knew from the city of Utica, like were at the game, you know what I'm saying? Like their first Utica basketball game, like they all popped out and it seemed like it was something that like, you know, a lot of people were really excited for and it lived up to the hype. I mean, you know, it was a great game. I think that, you know, Poly is a great team. They're well coached. I got a lot of respect for number zero, Marcus.
Yeah, Merchant.
That's what everybody calls it. Yeah, Merchant. I got a lot of respect for him because he played, I don't really know what injury, but I was hearing like hamstring or something like that. And like, you could tell like he wasn't really moving the same, but regardless, like bro tried to play as much as he could. And like, I respect that a lot, honestly.
Nah, I don't want to cut you off, but I respect it. But it's also like, I feel like it was kind of hurting them at points. Like, one, he couldn't move, and that's one of their best players. So they were, like, in between on, yo, do I give him the ball? Do I, like, ice him? And then I don't know. I don't think you guys were doing it as much, but when we played them, it was like, yo, whoever he's guarding, just, like, call ISO, basically go at him. But I know what you mean. Like, you're a senior. It's your last year. You're fighting for something else on a serious injury, so – I mean, there's pros and cons for sure, but I just wanted to put that perspective
out. Nah, I mean, for sure. In terms of a game plan perspective, like, in a sense, did that kind of, like, I don't want to say take the whole team out. No, but I will say it takes out, like, a part. Like, at that point, like, it's not that he's, like, a non-factor. It's just, like, you're hurt at that point. Like, he's a great player, bro. Like, he wasn't at his best. So, it's, like, it just kind of put them in a tough position. But regardless, like, you know, Torre is OD nice. Comstock is a dog. You know what I'm saying? So they got a lot of great players, bro. I mean, I just think it was that run at the end of the second half. I mean, I think, you know, forever was watching that game, we showed what, you know, that was like old flashes of Utica basketball where we just get a bunch of stops and just get buckets in transition, get tough buckets. And it was crazy, bro. The crowd was crazy when Isaiah Smith had that and one. Like, I've never heard that gym as loud as it was, bro. I swear.
That's a little bro.
Yeah,
sure.
Facts. My boy, I don't want to keep this too long, but one last thing about the game was just favorite memory, obviously like winning, but just being able to get on the court at the end was so tough. Like, I didn't think I was about to get in. Like, I might save the story for only in D3 of what Coffee said, because like they probably had subbed in all their guys, and I'll save the story for only in D3. But it was kind of a funny moment. But regardless, like when I got onto the court, the crowd started cheering and stuff like that. Devin is waving to the crowd, flipping off the Poly crowd. But in the middle of all that madness, like Coffee, I was right next to Coffee. He was like, "Yo, if you got a shot, like I want you to pull it." I was
"Yo, like, you got in. I see you get the blast, stood up." I'm like, "Yeah, I sold it."
I know, I sold the clip crazy, but it was definitely fire. Like, you know, I looked at Coffee called Ghost, and then like I looked at Day. We already knew what it was. Like, I was putting that bitch up no matter what if I had some space. So it was definitely fire. Like, just, you know, just really, really, really was fulfilling, bro, to do that in the last year. And now we have, you know, another day of practice with my brothers, man. So excited.
No, I feel that, bro. Congrats to you.
Thank you.
I feel like we should just jump right into talking about Melvin.
Yeah.
So on today's episode, we got Melvin Council, really one of them ones, bro. Like, straight dog. Currently playing at St. Bonaventure, averaging almost 15 points per game, having a really good year. We'll talk about it. But, I mean, one thing just, like, you're going to see from probably his first answer is mindset, bro. It's, like, it stems from Kobe. That's his favorite guy. But it's no surprise why St. Bonaventure's having a good year being led by Melvin because, yo, he's really a dog. And I know you have some thoughts, so I'll hand it over to you. But I just wanted to, like, put that stamp there now for the viewers. Like, Melvin is a dog. He's one of them ones. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bonnie's, like, make some noise in the A-10 tournament strictly because they have him as a leader.
Hell yeah, bro. I mean, it was a great episode. It was great to meet him. I know you had, like, a prior relationship with him before the episode. But, you know, Melvin from Rochester, New York, so local guy, right? Like, helped his team to the Section 5 Class AA title in 2020. I don't know the New York State like sections like that, so I might have butchered that whole thing. But he averaged 25 a game at University Prep in Rochester. So he was a dog in high school, highly recruited coming out. Had to go JUCO, which is a dog-eat-dog world down there, and he dogged it out and got out of there. Then he went to Wagner. And at this point, I feel like with Melvin, it was just like God's time and like everything kind of happened in right place, right time for him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, winning the NEC, winning the game in the tournament, like, you know, putting himself back on the map and back in front of, you know, the nation's eyes. And like you said, he's a dog. I mean, he'll lock you up on defense. He'll score on you on offense. He'll talk crap while doing it. And I think bro is definitely gonna be playing basketball for a long time, and he might be wearing that NBA emblem on his jersey soon, whether it be G League or hopefully he gets an NBA opportunity, especially with, shout out, Adrian Wojnarowski, him joining the St. Bonaventure program and all the connections that he got. So it's a bright future for my boy, man. Definitely a great episode.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, God's timing, bro. It's like, now he went through so much throughout his career, and now he's in elite company being coached by Coach Schmidt. Being able to, you know, talk with Woj, hear his advice on, you know, how he can get his foot in the door. All that stuff is covered in the episode, but it's like fulfilling for Melvin. Like, I've been through so much and now I get this opportunity to be amongst elite category. And this is for Woj and Coach Schmidt. If you guys ever need to get on Not Even D2, we definitely need that. Mike, you got to set us up with your pops. Definitely looking forward for one of them to get on the pod. But just real quick about the A-10, like, it's not getting enough attention, bro. Like, if you watch some of these games, they're so competitive. And, like, the standings show it. Like, a lot of teams have 7-8 wins in the conference. But it's also, you look at, like, the top scorers, and we had Jalen Haynes, who's a bucket. Melvin's a bucket. But it's, like, Max Schluga at VCU, they're contention for an at-large. It's like Rashir Fleming going to get drafted. St. Joe's got probably the best backcourt in the A-10. And then, like, you probably see on social media the Robbie, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but the
Avila or something like that.
Yeah, the big from St. Louis. So it's just like every team has really, really tough players that, you know, might get their foot in the door in the NBA. But I like Melvin's mindset going into, like, the A-10 tournament. It's like, yo, if he's in front of me, he's food. And you need to have that mindset sometimes. And that's kind of what he had at Wagner and why they were successful, you know, in the NET or NEC and moving into a tournament, which, you know, we talked about all of that. Like, anything we just mentioned is covered. Melvin's great storyteller. He had great stories for us, a comedian. If you're watching on YouTube, like the episode, subscribe. Make sure you stay for the full episode. Catch us at Only in D3 and also the Empire 8 segment. We talked with the women's basketball, Geneseo head coach, just won an Empire championship. So, I mean, this is a really good episode, and let's hear from Melvin Council. All right, we're here with our guy, Melvin Council. How you doing today, bro?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Doing pretty good, man. Appreciate you getting on, bro.
Yeah, appreciate y'all for having me.
Word. So yesterday, good dub, beat Duquesne. You had a pretty good night yourself. I'm just kind of curious, like, how much does the scouting change opponent to opponent playing for Bonnies? And do you notice any, like, differences, I guess, between, like, the preparation at Wagner or Bonnies?
I'd say, like, the scouting really doesn't change because, you know, we played these teams, like, twice. So when we played them first, it's the same scout, but like, it's just that like, the next time they see us, like my guy will probably have like 24 on somebody. The next game they gotta see us, right? So my scouts limit him to not having 24. Probably have him have like 12 points or hold him under 10. But the preparation is totally different because at Wagner, you know, like we scouted, but not how we scout here, like. 3 hours practice, then we go out of town hotels. We scout in a little lobby area where we eat at and stuff like that. So our coach is very big on scout because a lot of teams run a lot of plays and they're gonna run different sets against us and stuff like that. And we just gotta know how to defend it. So I'll say Bonnie scouts is way harder than Wagner.
Do you take, like, that defensive side of the ball? Like, do you take that whatever matchup you're, like, playing against? Do you take that personally? Like, nah, like, they're trusting me to hold this guy to under 15 or however many points.
Yeah, most definitely. Because, you know, I don't want to hear the assistant coaches, you know, when they get on me and stuff like that. Yeah. So I really just be trying to take it personal. And right now it's a guards game and – like, not trying to sound cocky or none, but I feel like I'm the best guard in the A-10. And being that, you just got to guard the best other guard. So why not? Why not play both ends and see who's going to win the matchup? Because, like, some games, other people, like, the best guard don't be guarding me. They probably guard somebody else on my team. And I feel like I won the matchup already because on defense, they don't want to check me. So I just trying to hold my matchup. Like less than what they be averaging.
Nah, I respect that. You averaging 2 steals a game, bro. And one thing is like you playing most of the game, you getting a lot of usage on the offensive side, but the whole game basically you picking up full court too. So it's not capping your rap right now. You saying like you taking that personal because we seeing it day in and day out. You just taking that challenge, playing 94 feet the whole game. I respect it, bro.
Right.
But. I want to talk about the A-10 a little bit. You mentioned you think you're the best guard, but, I mean, it's a really good conference right now. You guys are 19-9 in the season, 7-8 in the A-10, 7th. But the standings are crazy. Like, mad teams got over 6 wins. I think the 12th-place team has 6 wins, which is UMass. And then Dayton's 4th, and they got 8 wins. So it's really a conference where teams are just – any team is being any other team, and – like, you guys beat VCU already. That was one of their 2 losses. So just talk about what your mindset is and also the Bonnies' mindset going into the A-10 tournament this year.
My mindset right now is just, March Madness. Kill everybody in front of me. Then our mindset as a team, out of the whole 15 of us, just knowing that we can compete going into the A-10 tournament, again, double buys or single buy, winning it and go to March Madness. So we all got the same mindset, but we just got to do it. Like, we can't, like, our coach always say, like, we can't talk, you know. So right now we're just trying to just handle our business and less talking and more, you know, more work.
Definitely love to hear that all you guys is locked in on the season and definitely going to be tapped in come 8-10 tournament time on you guys. And I'm just wondering, though, this is obviously your first year with St. Bonnie's, but when I tune into a game, I just feel like the fans are always, like, lively. Like, they're always cheering for you guys. Like, they're wild. And I just want you to talk about what the Bonnie's fan base, like, how they've been for you, especially with Woj joining the program over the summer. So just talk about the support that you've seen and just the crazy atmosphere in the gym.
I mean, when I came on my visit, the coaches were telling me how our fan base, they travel. And I didn't believe them until it really happened. Like, the first non-conference game, like, it was crazy. Fordham, and then the whole arena was just our fans. Damn. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Then went with the Canisius, too. Like, when they walked in, they started chanting, let's go, Bob. And, like, we was warming up still. So it was like, oh, like, this is crazy. So when we see our fans take over another opponent gym, like, it just gives us the confidence and, like, okay, we got somebody to have our back. So our fan base is definitely a huge part of why we win games. So, like, we try to show them love any chance we get. Like, after the game, take pictures, sign autographs, just talking to them for, like, 5 minutes because they give it to us, so why not? And Woj joining the program, it was big because, you know, this is my last year of college. Hopefully I get the year back from going to junior college. But, like, as Woj has, like, worked in the NBA and stuff like that, now he's a GM, like, he got a lot of connections overseas, G League, NBA. So I felt like, wow, like, he came. Like, I felt like, this is what I tell people. I said, yeah, Woj only came because of me. Like, I tell people that because, like, because, like, I didn't know who Woj was. Like, I tell her, like, I didn't know what the Woj bomb was or nothing. Like, I didn't know who Woj was until, like, people told me. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, so that's what I'd be saying to people when, like, when they ask me about Woj and stuff like that. Because yeah. if you think about it, we get 10 new guys. One guy won the whole JUCO tournament.
OD.
One guy was in the SEC, then he went somewhere else. One guy came from the Big Ten. And then, like, I just came off that run from March Madness and stuff like that. So
he was trying to jump on y'all wave.
Yeah, yeah. See, then when I signed, I'm like, okay. And then, like, a few days, few weeks go by, Woj joined the Bonnie. I said, oh, wow. That's what I tell everybody. I think it's because of me.
Yeah, I'm weak, but not for real. The Bonnie's, like, support system, it's all Western New York. It's not just that, like, specific area. They just grew to admire and love Bonaventure Nation, bro. It's actually crazy to see. Like, you're thinking it's just a mid-major program, but it's really supported. Like, it's Kentucky or Syracuse or something like that. Right. Even though it was trash. Yep. So I want to talk a little bit more about Coach Schmidt. He's definitely one of the most, like, respected coaches, mid-major coaches, I should say. Been in the game for a minute, but also, like, a lot of success, getting guys to, you know, professional contracts, overseas, anything like that. But I want to hear, like, this is your first year, and I know that he has, like, a super complex offense. It's, like, three sides. You got to be able to guard a bunch of screens and all that. So just talk about playing for him, one, because – I be seeing him pace the sidelines, be bugging sometimes. So talk about that, but specifically, like, getting adjusted to that complex offense.
I mean, so I think of Coach Smith as, like, a Coach K from Duke, you know. Been in the game for a while, very respected, and everybody either want to play against him or scared to play against him. But you never know or expect what you're going to get from his team.
That's a fact.
And so, like, and, like, I didn't realize people was telling me that, you know, when I was in the portal, it was like, Bonnie's got a lot of plays. Bonnie's got a lot of plays. That coach got, like, a book full of plays. And they was not lying when they said that. We got a lot of plays. But like, I love that guy. You know, he talks to me one-on-one about little things that I need to fix as a point guard, you know, reading the screens right and stuff like that. And it's funny that everybody asks me about him because, you know, the team, my teammates call him my granddad, you know, and assistant coach call him my granddad, stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, and I call him my granddad too, you know, but, but yeah, he's the GOAT. He's like, to me, he remind me of Greg Popovich from the Spurs. Like, just got to balance well coaching, like just understanding the game and making it easy for us to like understand it better and not like, you know, how you go to the park and play outside with your friends, like, and you got just doing stuff just to do it, like free ball and stuff like that. Like, he made the game so simple, like less dribbling, like keep passing the ball, you'll get open. You set a screen for somebody else, you're going to get open. Like, just learning things like that that I didn't learn before or didn't really know or didn't really want to do it for my other team.
No, 100%. And you could see kind of, you know, why his players have been so successful. It's not like they're doing anything crazy at Bonnie's. It's just like they're playing simple basketball, but just in the position that they need to be able to succeed. And that's definitely stemmed from Coach Schmidt. I was curious about one specific thing that I'd be seeing just because I followed the Bonnie's IG page. When y'all do the, like, the bell after the game.
Yeah.
So when did – because you be saying something specific, like, if you want to be a dog, wait, finish it for me. Cause I don't
you want to be a dog, you got to be a dog. Because you're not a dog, you're dog fool. So that happened when Woj came. He got a partnership with WWE. And we got the belt when we played Providence. And that's the first time we've seen the belt. And that belt was heavy. Like, I thought it was going to be light. And, you know, we played against Providence. And that one, the first, and that's when the belt first came out. And I got the belt, and then that was just a big game because, like, we're playing against the Big East, so we're the underdogs. Got 10 new people, so nobody's expecting us to win. And, like, it was a big game for me because last year when I was at Wagner, you know, they killed us and stuff. Like, and I'm very big on, like, when I get that moment back, like, y'all gonna see who I am. So, and I finally got that moment back, and we got the job done, and that's when the belt came. And that's when I said my favorite line, and like we got millions of views. Woj texts me like, "Do you see our numbers?" I'm like, "Wow, that's crazy!" Like it went viral, and then that's when Detroit Pistons start doing the belt, and I'm like, "Yo, they got that from us." Like, any of y'all see people with the belt? We started that. We started that jump.
Oh, I respect it, bro.
We started that.
That's super tough. That's super tough. I was gonna say too, it's cool that you got like a good relationship with like Woj, with Coach Schmidt, with the coaching staff. Like that's always cool. Like when you find an environment that you could just connect with everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was KJ and I, when we were doing research for like this episode, bro, we noticed that you're from Rochester, and 585. I mean, there's a lot of good hoopers out there. You know what I mean? A couple of that NBA right now. Like Thomas Bryant right now, I'm pretty sure he plays for the Pacers.
Yeah.
And my boy on the Pistons, I'm blanking on his name. Apologies. But Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah.
He's from Rochester as well. We had someone on the pod too. His name is Daniel Cook. I don't expect you to know him, but he's from Rochester too. He was like a good player for St. John's Fisher. But nonetheless, there's a lot of good basketball Daniel in the area. Cook
from Minden? He went to Minden?
Piss for money, yeah.
I remember him. Yeah, they beat me bad in sectionals by like 40.
I think they went to states.
They was undefeated that year. Yeah, I remember Cook.
he was a killer in our conference for a long time, bro.
Indeed.
But I just want you to talk about growing up in Rochester, man, the hoop scene out there, and how it's kind of made you into who you are today.
Oh, growing in Rochester, you know, just like every city, you know, you go through things, you know. Murder, you know, killing, stuff like that, robbery, you know, that's every city. But I tell everybody this, like, you know, you hear these YNs and stuff like that. I tell everybody, like, if I wasn't scared of my mom, I probably would have, like, been in the streets. But since I was scared of my mom growing up, I stuck to basketball, and that's all I know was basketball. and my dad played basketball, my uncle and my mom. But like, if I was that kid, you know, not scared of their mom, don't care when she say come in at this time when the street lights hit. If I wasn't scared of my mom, I think I would have went down that wrong path like any other kid. I'm not saying they're a bad kid, but they just, you know, just want to do other things because they see it like getting money quick or just living up to rappers and stuff like that. So I say if I wasn't scared of my mom, I probably would have been like that. But thank God that my mom is a strong black independent woman that I'm scared of and chose to play basketball. But growing up, you know, you had a lot of people that was nicer than you and stuff like that. And I was one of those kids that was young that always just played with the older heads. But like I used to get picked last or I just never got on the court. And then like my dad got a good name out there. So like they had to pick me because my dad used to work at the Boys and Girls Club. So my dad said, like, if my son don't get picked, then nobody playing basketball. So it started like that. So, yeah, it was very tough, but it wasn't tough because, like, some kids nowadays will leave Rochester to pursue their dreams. And I be telling them, like, if you're nice at basketball, like, they're going to find you. Don't care where you're from. And I'm glad I stayed in Rochester through high school. I'm glad I played for local AU teams in Rochester. I'm just glad that I did everything with Rochester people because that's who made me, and that's who I always going to say, like, I'm always give out to Rochester. Rochester this, Rochester that, and that's really it.
Bro, you got a teammate from Rochester, too. Are you, like, super close to him or not?
Yeah, Miles, you know, we're close. Like, we played in the Gus Macker growing up, stuff like that. But as in, like I tell people, like, I'm close with Miles, but I'm close with his older brother, like Quinn Rose. Because Miles moved. He didn't finish high school in Rochester. He moved, I think. He went to Putnam Science. So I couldn't really, like, be around Miles through that high school career. But I was always around his brother, though, in, like, open runs and stuff like that. So me and Quinn just made a, like, connection, like, calling my big bro and stuff like that. So, like, me and Miles, we're close, but not close like his, like me and his brother.
Word. Yo, I definitely like how you spoke about your mother, too, because, you can tell y'all got real love. I remember seeing, as soon as you hit the game winner against VCU, like, that was the first person you went to go hug. So, just talk about, like, y'all relationship and, you know, all how you have to be grateful for what she did, being that strong, independent black woman, bro.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, because, you know, my dad gonna see this interview, be like, you never talk about me, da, da, da. My dad was there, but my dad was, you know, living his dream playing basketball. Like, he made stuff work for us, but as in me being young, I really didn't, like, see nothing like that. But me getting older, being around my mom and stuff, like, she was the one holding, like, the family down. And, like, she just made everything work when she didn't have none. Like, me and my sister would ask for money. She'd ask your dad. I know we asking you. And you know how moms, why you never ask your dad for none, da, da, da. And my mom used to say she was broke all the time. And then me and my sister used to say, you're not broke. But I'm just saying, like, and my mom sacrificed a lot. And my little sister did, too, because my little sister, you know, she wanted to play volleyball, cheerleading, and stuff like that. But at the time, she couldn't do all that because I was playing AAU and I was taking up her time. So I got to give my flowers to my little sister, too, because she sacrificed a lot. And people don't know that. Like, my sister could have been good at basketball because she was taller than everybody, but she didn't want to play. And I feel like it was my fault because me doing all this traveling, my mom spending time with us, my mom sending me money and stuff like that. That's probably stopped her, but that's why I'm just trying to do everything I could to make sure she good. But my mom just very special, and like I never seen my mom broke down or nothing like that in front of me. And she's strong. And then when I hit that game winner shot, and then like it just felt so good to just go to her because all the things she did. So like I just had to give it back to her.
Nah, yeah, I respect that. Shout out to your mom, Dukes, bro, for real, and all the mothers listening. Y'all do a lot. I like how you said they always think it's a mom versus dad thing, bro. It's not that.
So you played JUCO basketball some time at Monroe, and that's another set of adversities itself. You know what I'm saying? Just playing JUCO basketball is a dog eat dog type of world, bro. Honestly,
yeah.
Everyone's trying to make it out of there. So, what was it like playing JUCO basketball for you, and what type of person, player, do you need to be to succeed at that level?
You know, if you really want to play basketball at a high level, you're gonna have to do whatever it is, because adversity is gonna hit. Like, and what a lot of people don't know is that, like, when I went to JUCO my first year, COVID happened. I think I was like 19. And I told everybody, like, I wasn't going to be starting that team. I probably would have been, like, the eighth, man, because that team was so good. But COVID happened, so they canceled our whole season. Then that following year after that, I went back to Monroe. And then the people that was ahead of me, they ended up leaving because they was, like, 24, 23. You know, they were just getting tired of JUCO. They didn't want to go back. So they left. And then we just had to find new pieces. And my first year actually playing JUCO basketball, it was nice, stuff like that. But I always wanted to go one and done and JUCO go like somewhere else. But what a lot of people didn't know, that I was still fighting my situation in junior college. So that's why I could have went anywhere, but people were scared to touch me because of my situation. They were scared of what it would have brought to the school, brought to the university. And I'm okay with that, you know? I'm okay with that, but you don't know me if you're not going to give me another chance, you know? Mm. And I had to stay in New York State the way that my case was going. So it's not like I could have left Monroe to go to, like, Carolina or Texas. Like, I had to stay in New York State to play basketball, you know? So that was another road in my path that hit, too, because, like, all these other schools reaching out to coaches saying, yo, I really like Miller, da, da, da. I'm saying to my coach, like, why are they not going to offer me that? And then my coach said, you know why. And, you know, so, you know, I just had to put my big boy pants up, you know, just keep going and stuff like that. And, like, JUCO is really, like, I don't know if it's all JUCO, but my JUCO in New Rochelle, it was 3-2 a room. So we had, like, the curtains up. Like, it was bad, and, you know, 3-2 a room. And then, like, the older people that was, like, on the team, they had just a single room. Like, it was just them and somebody else. So they could put, like, dressers together. We had one bathroom, one shower. And then it was, like, I never, like, I thought that was some jail stuff when they put the curtains and you block. Like, it was just crazy. But, like, I went to junior college with my boy from Rochester named Keith Warren. So it was cool knowing somebody from the same town. So, like, I wasn't, like, it wasn't nothing to be scared of with nerds, but, like, living in that condition and knowing you don't want to live in that condition no more, so you need to work hard and stuff like that. And then, like, we don't got the managers and stuff like that. And then it's limit workout, because, you know, you playing at arena. So, like, when the door is locked, the door is locked. Like, you can't go in the gym at 10 o'clock at night. Like, you can't lift weights at 10. Like, you just got to do it with the coaches, do it after practice or before practice, and that's your work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, JUCO is really rough.
Nah, that's crazy, bro. It's, like Ruta says, really a dog-eat-dog type of environment. But, like, we play Division III, and we hear, like, similar – not the same, obviously it's different, but similar stories. Like, you got to really get out the mud, work by yourself, and then when you're able to get the opportunity like you at right now – at St. Bonaventure, now your game going to go crazy to a different level, just because you know how it feels to not have nothing, to, you know, start being broke. And then now, like, you hooping, about to, I mean, I imagine you got NIL, stuff like that, and maybe NBA coming up soon. But we got a lot more to talk about, so stay with us while we take a quick break. All right, we're back with Melvin Consul on the Not Even D2 pod. I mean, we talked earlier about, like, your Bonnie season, but we didn't really talk about your season at Wagner. You guys, I mean, you went crazy. You averaged 15 and 6 rebounds per game. Definitely one of the best players in the NEC that year. But you guys were you finished the year 17 and 16, a below .500 record in conference 7-9. But you ended up making the NCAA tournament because you were the sixth seed in the NEC tournament, won all the way. So I just want to hear, like, a little about your favorite memories from that NCAA trip, like, what it took, because, like I said, you guys were the sixth seed. That's crazy. I don't remember the last time a sixth seed won a conference championship, so that's tough. But just talk to me about that year in general.
Let me start off by saying that I should have got player of the year in that conference. But the way they did it was before the tournament. So, you know, people records better than us. Okay, I give it to Jordan. But Jordan been snapping in that conference for a year since he's been there. But I feel like as having seven people and winning the conference with just seven people and being in the sixth.
Wait, what you mean y'all had seven people? I'm unfamiliar.
We had seven players throughout that whole year.
Seven who were playing or seven people? Like in practice, you had seven people.
Seven people was playing, seven people in practice. We was not going full court. We were going to half court. Played against our four assistant coaches in practice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when people talk about, you know, Wagner, people don't know about that. So being the 16-6 and playing every game away was crazy. Central Connecticut, me and the big man, we fouled out. So we tight. Because we're like, dang, like, this is about to be our season. But shout out my guys for holding it down. Then we went to the first game was Sacred Heart. I won't say they was locking me up. I was making the game so hard for myself. I think I had like 4 points or 2 points. And like I had like the game winning block, chase down block, like got a turnover, and I just chased them down. And like, I'm not gonna lie, I probably would have never chased him down like that, how I did, because he was talking a lot of junk. Like, he was talking a lot of junk. So I'm glad I chased him down and blocked his shot. And then after that game, then we went to Central Connecticut. You know, that's when me and my big fouled out. And then we played Merrimack and Chip. And I got one foul early. I was like, okay, I know what type of game this is about to be. They about to try to get me out of the game. And they didn't, and you know, I hold myself down, my teammate hold it down, and you know, we won. So we was excited, and like to do it with seven people, and like people don't understand that, like it was hard. And if we would have lost in like the NEC tournament, people would have said this had a third, but like people don't know that we only had seven people.
That's wild.
And then, you know, so when we won it, you know, we went back, you know, the whole little March Madness seed, and we had practice. So we was thinking that we was going to play Purdue against Zach Edey because, like, that following year, FDU, they had played Purdue, and they beat them. So we think, okay, we about to play Purdue. So we just talking how we about to lock Zach Edey up, how we about to just, like, run through them. All they got is Zach Edey. Like, man, we seen that junk. That junk say Wagner versus Howard. Then North Carolina, yo. When I tell you, when I just say North Carolina, mind you, I'm looking at my teammates. I see their faces drop. I'm the only one that's like, okay, what's up? Like, I've been waiting. I won't say they wasn't dunking, but like we was happy, excited, da da da. And then like, they mood just changed. Like some of my teammates' mood just changed. So I was happy to finally get a chance to see RJ Davis, right? So we played Howard, you know. That game was crazy because we was up, and then coach told us that, like, yo, they're going to make their run, and when they made their run, what we going to do? And they definitely made their run. And then the whole day in the arena just got loud. Like, we couldn't hear our coach call the plays or nothing. Because the HBCU community, they was definitely outside that day. Like, they just got turned up. So we won that game, right? I'm happy, you know. I never got that type of, like, camera action, stuff like that. Before the Howard game, we had to do a little walkthrough, March Madness, blah, blah, blah. Like, and when I know that, like, I can make somebody days when we had the little walkthrough practice when – people could watch his practice. Then after, people, Melvin, can I take a picture? And then I'm like, oh, like, they know me, like, little kids that live in Ohio, probably. And I live all in New York in Staten Island to go to Wagner. Like, that's just crazy how they've been following up. And they probably was, like, 8, 9, 10, 12, like, young. So, like, what they know about Wagner basketball? And then, so after that game, we beat Howard, you know. I think we flew that same night or the next morning. We got to the hotel. And then it was just, like, the fans and, like, other people had them little marching band. And we walked to the hotel. I'm like, yo, this is dope. But me not knowing that, like, I can't be happy because, like, we got, you know, we got a chance to win, you know. I'm really not into it because, like, when I'm a competitor, you know, so I can't really look at it like, yo, we have March Madness, da da da. I can't really look at it like that, right? So we played North Carolina. We was down probably like 12 or 10 at half. So we happy in the locker room because we only down by 10 with seven people. And it's the number one team on our side of the bracket, right? Like, they should be killing us. Like you know, they should be up by, like, 25 at halftime, right? But the toughness that we had that our coach built inside us didn't allow that to happen, right? So, you know, halftime, second half come. Now, like, now people can see it. Like, we're tired now. Like, we're gassing now. So they start increasing the lead and stuff like that. And it got to a point where the North Carolina fans – was cheering for us. And, like, I don't see that happen nowhere. So when they start cheering for us, making baskets and stuff like that, I thought they were trying to be funny. But after the game, you know, I talked to some Carolina fans, and they was like, we didn't know you guys only had seven players, this and the third. So they gave us our flowers. And then it was just a fun memory to have. And, like, you know, and that's my goal, to go back to March Madness again and, like, hopefully play more games than I played last year in the tournament, because each game you play, you get new stuff, like new gear, new recognition, stuff like that, new media, stuff like that. And I just want to just live like that. And that's why I came to St. Bonnie's, because, you know, I could have went to any other school, but when I came on my visit, I asked the team what their goal was, and they all said March Madness. And that was just the goal, so I just came here.
I mean, bro, you could, like you said, you all the way from Staten Island, or Wagner's in Long Island or Staten Island?
Staten Island.
So you come all the way from Staten Island in Charlotte, North Carolina, playing one of the blue blood UNC schools.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you had 18 that game. Like, you played pretty well. And I mean, that's just a blessing, bro. That's just a blessing. So that's super tough. And you could definitely, you can definitely hear in your voice and just how you guys are playing on the court that, you know, St. Bonnie's is locked in on this A-10 tournament coming up and going into March Madness. So, like I said before, I know Cage and I are both rooting for y'all. And, you know, that's kind of a perfect transition, too, because you're talking about, like, why you chose St. Bonaventure. So what were some other schools that you were looking at? And just talk about that recruiting process, especially after leaving Wagner and going on that run.
Let me see if I got it on. I think I deleted it, but I had a lot of schools that, like, really reached out to me. And then, like, my whole thing was just, like, why now, you know? Like, why now y'all gonna reach out to me? Why y'all didn't reach out to me after my year with Monroe, you know? But I had, like, Virginia Tech. I had University of Miami. They was looking at me. UCF had a tons of, like, high major schools and low major D1s, but overall, like, St. Bonnie's, they recruited me. They was talking to me since my junior college at Monroe too, but I didn't want to be around no fake program that once upon a time they wanted me, and then when I went through my stuff, they stopped reaching out to me. And St. Bonnie's, they never stopped reaching out to me, you know.
Yeah.
Plus 2 hours away from the crib. And, you know, I've been away from my family, like, throughout my whole basketball program. And it's like my family don't have no excuses of not why not coming because I'm only 2 hours away. So that's really why I chose Bonaventure. And then like I didn't want to keep going on visits. Like I didn't want to keep going on visits while I was in school because that was stressful, you know, leaving. Then you know you had schoolwork or you got a test, but you gotta go on a visit because this is the right time that they can fly you down, stuff like that. But what I could say is that my parents was mad at me that I stopped going on a visit because, you know, they wanted the free food and stuff like that. So when I told them, I said, yo, I'm done going on a visit. Like, this is my last one. And Bonnie's, you know, I'm glad I chose this, you know. Give it to God, you know. And I'm going down the right path with this program and the fan base and the whole community in the Olean. So
100%, bro. Right place, right time. You know what I mean? Last year at Bonnie's, hopefully, you know, you get another year because that JUCO yeah. stuff. But right place, right time. Woj joined in the summer when you committed. Woj got all the connections, bro. It's all going to happen soon, man. It's all going to happen soon. But I want to get your opinion on one thing, though, before KJ takes it over for the last question. The A-10. And we kind of talked about, like, you know, you said you were one of the best guards in the A-10, and there's a lot of good guards, but there's a lot of good teams, too, in the A-10. I mean, VCU, George Mason, Dayton went to the tournament. Loyola Chicago is solid. You guys are good. So just talk about the competition in the A-10. You know, we have debates all the time whether or not it can be considered a high major conference like the Mountain West or something like that. So just talk about all that good stuff, bro.
I mean – before I start, like, I be getting mad at my teammates sometimes when they be telling me, yo, this guy nice, this guy. And I be like, bro, like, come on, bro. No, they're not, bro. Come on, bro. You gotta stop hating. Like, I'm not hating. I'm just telling y'all the truth. Like, that's just how I live, and that's how I was raised. Like, I won't say I was built different, but, like, when it comes to basketball, like, they gotta tie the same shoes. They bleed the same just like me. Like, I don't think nobody's, like, that good until they, like, really, like,
prove it to you.
Killed me one-on-one. Like, they have all 40 on me. Ain't no switches. No, like, you scored 20-something on me, you know? And I be trying to tell my teammates that. But the A-10, you know, a lot of people say, you know, because I got a burner account on Twitter, and I be looking at everything. I be looking at, because, like, the reason I got it because when I got a new phone, my old Twitter wasn't on there no more, and I tried to, like, get my password back, but, you know, they was saying all this security question. I didn't know it, so I just made a burner account, and they were saying, like, how Melvin going to do in an 8-10 to 7-3? It's going to be a big jump, but, like, if you've been playing basketball for a minute, like, it shouldn't be nothing to you, you know, and that's how I look at it. Like, it don't matter what conference, like, if you're good at basketball and you love the game of basketball, you should be good at anywhere you go. I don't care if it's in the SoCon conference, the NEC, A-10. I don't really care. As long as you, like, can handle yourself. And people don't understand that, like, I went through so much. So, like, this is not going to stop me. Like, it's just another conference. Just with a yeah. name and big-time schools, big-time players. And then going into the A-10, though, you know, we just looking at a game at a time. We got 3 games left into the A-10 tournament, trying to get either a double bye or a single bye, for we won't have to play that first day. And then we just so locked in right now, you know, like, I don't even do – we're so locked in that, like, you know, when you warm up, then before the game start, you know, people dunk, you cheer, you know, I don't even do that no more. I cut that. Like, we don't dance in the circle no more or nothing. Like, we just, like, we got to switch it up now because, like, we've been doing that, but we've been losing. So why are we having fun and we losing, you know? So we just been so locked in, just paying attention to details. And as we get inside the A-10 tournament, I'm just telling, like, every player that, like, I need y'all. Like, I need the bench, I need the managers, and I need the people that's on the floor with me. Like, it's going to take all of us. Like, and coach always preached, like, it's y'all. I just coach y'all, you know. It's going to be y'all, you know. The wins and losses, you know, come from y'all and me. But, like, the main story is going to come from us, the 5 that's out there, or the whole 15 of us, plus the managers. So that's really what we're going into the A-10, just having our mind focused and really think like, and we all think we could win it. You know, we know why we lost those games. And we just feel like we can stick with anybody in the tournament in the A-10. So we're not even worried about who we face or what spot, but we're hopefully, like, we really want to get a bye. We don't care if it's single or double. Like, we just, that's our main focus right now, is getting a bye.
Word. Nah, I was having this discussion with a few of my teammates, bro, that the A-10, like, if you're a low seed, it's virtually impossible to win it all, bro, because, like, you got to play, what, 4 days in a row, and yeah, different dog every day. So that's definitely super big in a single or double bye. And you could just tell throughout, like, you're a dog, bro. And that's kind of leading me into my question. Like, Mike, for people that don't know, he's the graduate assistant, Coach Schmidt's son. He told me from day one, that's my boy, that, like, Melvin's our guy, Melvin's our leader. He's getting everybody locked in. So I'm kind of curious, like, where did you get this intense energy? I be seeing you, like, getting hype. I know you say you don't do it no more, but you be getting hype in, like, warm-ups when they introduce you in the starting five. So where'd you get this, like, energy and leadership style from?
I say Wagner. I got that leadership from Wagner. You know, it was a couple of the guys that was ahead of me, and they knew the program at Wagner. They knew the defense, you know, because when I went to Wagner, I tell everybody, like, yo, like, I wanted to go home. Like, I called my dad in the summertime, like, yo, come pick me up. My dad said, no, like, you chose that route. You're going to have to just, you know, just live it up, you know, stay there. And then I got a shout out to Ramir Moore from Wagner. Like, he always taught me after practice, and he was that leader at Wagner, you know. When things didn't go right, he would talk to us. Then one thing at Wagner, though, we had to keep talking and keep clapping our hands. If we don't, we either run or we get kicked out of practice. And that's where that whole leadership came from Wagner, you know. It was, I will say, like, the coach at Wagner, like, ran through, like, a military practice. Like, everybody got to talk. Everybody have energy. If you don't, then the ship going to sleep. And it just started at Wagner. And then, you know, when I know that, you know, nobody was that guy at Bonnie's, you know, I had to fill in that role. Like, and I'm okay of filling that role because, you know, I'm a human at the end of the day. Human going to make a mistake. And if I do make a mistake, okay, next day. You know, move on from that. And I just feel like as a leader and as a person that went to March Madness and as a person I want to go back to, and I got to tell them, like, how to do it and show them that it's going to be okay and stuff like that. But other than that, like, that's just where my role came from, just Wagner, just leading on to Wagner and just putting it into Bonnie's. So that's really it.
No, I respect it. That's Coach Copeland that had y'all doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a G for sure. I got one more question for you, bro, but, like, I heard you in an interview talk about that you're not really focused on the future. You just trying to stay super locked in. But I do got to ask you, like, you know, Woj is now part of the program. He's got NBA Connect. You averaging 14.4 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 4.1 assists, and 2 steals to go along with that. Definitely in contention for first team. So, like, what's the future of Melvin Council? What are you trying to do in this game of basketball?
I'm really just trying, you know, the future really, like my dad always say, he called me Junior, that's the same name, like, Junior, I just want you to be better than me. And I'm really just trying to do everything that my dad couldn't do because he didn't have, like, the right people around him or the right age and stuff like that. And then me talking to my dad more, just giving me more knowledge about the game of basketball. And then, like, if I do get a year back, who knows what I'm going to do, either stay, go in the portal, go to the draft. I don't even know. My main focus is this team right now. But I would say throughout basketball, you know, when my college, collegiate years is over, either G League overseas or NBA, you know, have cool little years in that, and then after that, you know, just trying to get back to my community, start an AAU program. And, like, I want to start an AAU program where, like, it's just free. Everything is free because my boy, my brother Matt, he go to RIT right now, and his dad had an AAU team called Wolfpack, and it was the first AAU team that I played on, and I didn't have to pay for anything. Like, it was all on him. all on his dad. And like, that shows me that like, he wasn't in it for the money. He was in it for the kids. And I just want to give back to the community like that, you know, cause you know, some people don't have it. And there's a lot of people that's probably nice that don't got the funds to play AAU basketball, you know? And that's what I want to do. And I'm just like, put my mind into that. And I feel like I can do it. Just got to have the right people around me to start that when my basketball career is like, it's over.
No, 100%, bro. I really respect that. And so you got big heart. You a dog. So definitely keep killing this year. Definitely going to be following you the rest of the year and all that. But we're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire, starting five edition. So let us know you're ready for rapid fire.
Starting five? Like
No. Rapid fire first. So Ruda going to tell you three questions, and it's like rapid fire. So, and then we'll get to the starting five. So okay. First, rapid fire. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. First rapid fire question. Favorite artist right now that you got in your rotation?
Favorite artist right now? My boy from Rochester named Chizzy.
Chizzy? All right, bet. Second rapid fire question. Just favorite food, like anytime you see this on the menu, like you gotta order it every time.
Chipotle.
Chipotle, what do you get? Like burrito, bowl? What's your
I get a bowl.
Bowl
brown chicken? Rice. It was brisket, but the brisket ran out. Now I'm getting chicken, queso, a little bit of peppers, sour cream, cheese, guac with a little vinaigrette sauce.
That's valid. They don't know about the vinaigrette sauce. That salad dressing, very tough. Very
yeah.
Tough. And then
close to Bonnie's.
Word?
Yeah.
They got one out there. That's tough.
Yeah.
And then last rapid fire question, just your favorite NBA players that you had growing up and maybe some that you like trying to model your game after.
There's only one. Kobe Bryant, rest in peace to the GOAT.
Mm. I mean, there's mad similarities.
Great answer, yeah.
not really in play style, but mindset, bro. I could definitely see that. But we got in this episode with a little starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling a lineup, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best Rochester Hoopers that you played against or played with. And just tell me, like, where they played at or where they're playing right now.
Do I get in that starting lineup or no?
Yeah, you can if you want. If you think
I'm going to take myself out of it because I don't want to be biased. I'm going to take myself out of it. I'm going to be the assistant coach. And the coach asked me who I'm going to be the assistant coach. So at the one, I'm going to pick Jalen Pickett as the point guard.
Okay.
He's right now with the Aquinas. He with the Denver Nuggets right now. At the two, let me start at the five. I'm going to have Isaiah Stewart. He went to McCray. He with Detroit Pistons. He not with none of that in the paint, so he's definitely at the five. At the two, I'm going to pick my boy G. He had George Washington right now.
I pooped against each other the other day. That was tough.
Yeah. Because he's a big guard for real. You know, he's like 6'7", 6'8", you know. And the two man really like 6'2", 6'3". So, yeah, put him at the two. At the three, Janathan Williams. He went to UPrep, UB. Yeah, he played with the Houston Rockets right now. And the four, man. Dang. Probably not Isaiah Carter.
Tough. University of Washington.
Yeah.
He's hooping there for a minute, yeah.
OD. No, that's a good lineup. Rochester definitely got some dogs, bro. You might need – that's a good lineup you just constructed, too. You might need to tell Coach Smith you're trying to get on staff later.
Great lineup right there. Great lineup.
But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Appreciate you getting on your off day, bro. Definitely, like I said, we're going to be following room for you, bro. And good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all for having me, bro. All
right, for this week's EA segment, I keep changing it, bro. Last week it was Rookie of the Week. We've been doing Player of the Weeks, but this week we want to get a coach on. We got Coach Poe, really good coach. I really liked what she was saying in this episode. It was quick, but like she's leading a great program in Geneseo. They won their first conference championship in the Empire 8 in their first year in the Empire 8. And it was just really good to hear, like, some of her strategies, what she tells the girls in the huddles, all that stuff. So that was a good conversation.
OD, it was a great convo. It was great getting to know her, too. She was she gave us some good advice and good gems. And then next up, we got my boy Deion Thompson, that Beacon, New York native, first team all conference this year, back-to-back EA chip for my boy. Definitely excited to talk to him on the pod. Definitely excited to get him on, long time coming, but it was a great convo with bro, and I'm excited for the viewers to get to know him a little bit.
Yep. So let's hear from Coach Paul. All right, we are here with Geneseo's head women's coach coming off Empire 8 championship. Congrats to you before we get any more started. But I want to start kind of rewinding a little bit. So I want you guys moved from the SUNY Act to the E8. A lot of uncertainty, playing different teams, not knowing how they play, the style of play, all of that. So just talk about, like, what the preparation was from your perspective coming into this year.
Yeah, you know, it was when we got that news that we were moving to the Empire 8, that was a shock to everyone in the room. We did not know that was going to happen. And, you know, it was a little confusing at that time to just really process the reasoning and the ins and outs of all of it and how long that decision took to make. You know, that was not we feel like doing this, so we're gonna switch over. That is not what happened. But you know, I've said to people, it's kind of like I switched schools. You know, like, I've got my friends at an old school who I grew really close to that I've known for a long time and that I still love dearly. And I just kind of moved schools, and I knew that I would make a lot of new friends, and that I've known these people a little bit more casually through recruiting and just through the basketball world. But just had to get a little bit more comfortable, and that's exactly how it's been. You know, it's felt like my old friends still kind of hang out, but I've got a really nice group of new friends, and you know, the whole experience was just so different than what we were used to. You know, we've got these teams who we've never played before. I've never even really watched play most of them because we're too busy doing our own thing. And, you know, a lot of these private schools, they get out of state athletes too. So I don't even know who some of these athletes are. And so it was a lot of work this year in the conference to start our scouting reports from scratch and make sure that we were putting our team in a position to win every single night at the same level as if we were in the conference for 10 years. And, you know, that included buy-in from our team. And it also included a lot of flexibility in game. You know, we had to make adjustments quickly when they did things that we weren't expecting because we just don't know the teams as well. But, you know, that in the long run paid off for us. And, you know, I think we're in a great conference, and I'm excited to represent them in the NCAA tournament.
You were talking a lot about adjustments, really, just coming into a new conference, figuring out how new teams play. And, you know, you guys had played Rockport in the past, and earlier this year, you guys took two losses to them, obviously ended up beating them in the conference championship. So what adjustments do you feel like you made from those first two games to the last championship game?
The first game we played them, I know the storyline goes Brockport came back from 24 points down in the fourth quarter and hit a buzzer beater essentially to win. And that's a great story for them. That was quite the game to be a part of. And, you know, that was, I felt, a huge turning point in our season. Because for three quarters, we played pretty perfect basketball in terms of our game plan. And that the fourth quarter, it was really the beginning of the fourth quarter through like the 2 minute mark, because our last 2 minutes, our execution was really good. We just had kind of put ourselves in a position to not be successful at that time. But those eight minutes were minutes that we did not handle like we needed to handle if we wanted to be the team we wanted to be. And we really had to have honest conversations with ourselves and say, that was not who we want to be. How can we get through this? And, you know, that was a really tough week it was probably the toughest week of my coaching career, because after that game, I did not like how I handled myself. And I let my ego get in the way of empowerment. and that I lost a lot of sleep and shed a lot of tears over that, because that is not who I am and it's not who I want to be. And that was a tough lesson for me. And, you know, even as the adult in the room, we are still learning lessons. We are still human. And I think that was good for my team to see as well, that, you know, I'm Coach Poe. I make the decisions for this program, but I'm human at the end of the day. I go home to my cats and, you know, I watch my dumb shows on TV, and I'm just a regular person. But I remember writing down, and I told my team this, I started keeping a journal this semester. I don't really know why. I'm not really a journal girly, but I just knew that there were things that I wanted to remember. And so I just wanted to write that stuff down. And I said to them that I wrote an entry or whatever you want to call it after that week. And I said, I hope I didn't blank everything up after that moment. And someone very wise said to me, it could be better than it ever was. And it was, and it was. And, you know, looking past that game, we grew from it. We just propelled straight to being an incredible basketball team. And of course, last 2 weeks ago, playing at Brockport for the one seed. I mean, why else do you play basketball if not for those moments? Like that is why you do all this stuff. And, you know, that was not our best game. My stud point guard McKenzie was sick as a dog that morning. She had nothing in her body for the game. My power forward was hacking up a lung with her inhaler on the bench. Like, we were not at 100% in a tough environment. And at the end of the day, it was a 4-point game going into the fourth quarter, and we were not near 100%. So we kind of just ran out of gas, but I was really comfortable with the position we were in. And, you know, one thing I love about the Empire 8 now is the playoff schedule, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. You know, as the 2 seed now, you actually get something. Like, you get another couple home games. And so I was really happy to be able to do that and play in Brockport locally Saturday. We had a great crowd, and, you know, we were able to overcome all that stuff we went through this year to hoist the trophy. And it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the crowd looked crazy. I was watching it. I was like, yo, this like you said, those are the games you live to play. And shout out to you, Coach, because it definitely impacts the players a lot when the coach can look inwards and say, you know, I did this wrong, or I didn't handle myself how I wanted to. But then when you criticize them, it's like, I got to take this at full value, because she's doing that with herself.
Yeah. But
I want to move forward into the Brockport game a little bit more. So you guys were up 3. Mandy's her first name, correct? Mandy Brink?
Yeah. Yep.
Gets fouled, 3 free throws, makes the first 2. And I want to hear specifically, like, maybe the whole possession, but what were you thinking on that 3rd free throw? Because I was watching it with a few of my guys, and we were screaming. At the
Well, I was screaming inside. you know, I did not have a great angle of the shot and the foul. So they were at the table trying to determine if it was a 2 or a 3. And our whole crowd was saying, it's a 2. It's a 2. And throughout the last couple days, I have had many people say to me, that was a 2-point shot. And I still have not watched the film back. I don't know what happened, but regardless, she was given 3 free throws, hits the first, hits the second. And, you know, at this time I thought, okay, she's got 3 free throws. This is a great time. There's 2 seconds on the clock. That's plenty of time to get a shot off. And we've got some sets that we could have gotten a shot off. So I grab my board and I start going to a play that I really like, that I'm like, we're going to get a shot off. Of course, my hand is shaking. Like, what am I doing right now? And so while I might have looked calm on the sideline, I was not calm. I was not well. And the last one, you know, I said, the ref, we are going to call a timeout on the rebound. And I made sure all 5 of my players knew that as well. And man, that rattled as much as it could rattle, front rim, back rim. you know, the universe helped me a little bit there. And I might have asked for a little bit of help from anyone who could give it to me from up above. And, you know, then we came into the timeout after, and, you know, they're starting to get fired up. And I just said, I looked them all dead in the eyes and I said, you have achieved nothing yet. So let's execute this play. Let's get that foul. We're going to hit two free throws and then we can have fun, but you have not achieved anything yet. So that was a very stressful moment. The whole end of 30 seconds was very stressful that I'm still, my adrenaline is still firing right now.
That's so awesome, coach. I'm not going to lie. You love, like you said, you love to play, you love to be in moments like that. That's what you, you know, work for. That's what you play for at the end of the day. And I'm wondering, obviously it's a huge accomplishment for yourself because this is your first championship as a head coach. All the audience, make sure they're clapping for her right now.
You,
you deserve it. But you also won two conference championships as both an assistant coach and a player. So tell me, what was different about this one? I want to know.
Yeah, I've had several people ask me how this is different, more so from as a head coach than as a player. And I have said to them, it is just infinitely more rewarding. This, I couldn't even tell you that day I won as a player, what I was feeling in those moments. Like I look at pictures and I'm like, man, that was pretty cool. But this, man, it is worth it. It is so worth it. And someone who I also highly respect said to me one time, you know, some 99% of this job kind of sucks. Like it's a grind. You don't always get rewarded for your efforts, but it's that 1% that keeps you coming back. And I get it. Oh, do I get it now? You know, as an assistant coach, it was, I mean, it was awesome. And that's, I stayed on as an assistant for so long. I was working a full-time job. I just loved this program. I loved the guys I worked with. I loved the team. That's all I knew was basketball in the winter, especially here at Geneseo. So I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll hang out, you know? And of course we're winning a lot and NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 championships, but I just had the back seat. You know, I was just doing my part and enjoying the ride and being a good support to my head coach. And, you know, I actually texted him. He's a very close friend of mine who was my coach here as a player, who then I was his assistant, Scott Hemmer. And I texted him Saturday morning, and I spent about 48 hours just being nauseous and anxious before that game. And I said, can you just tell me what you wish someone told you at this time? Because I know what I'm feeling. And he said pretty much like, you just have to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, did you do everything to put them in a position to succeed? And then they have to go do it. And it's up to the players at this point. And I said back to him, I go, I don't like that answer. Okay. And he's like, I know you don't, but it's true. It's true. And he's right, because that game on Saturday, they knew exactly what they needed to do to be successful, but they took it in their hands and they went and did it. I truly don't feel like I did anything special as a coach besides keep them mentally engaged through every timeout, every possession, all that stuff. They went out there and did all the special things it took to hoist the trophy. And that is way more rewarding as a coach to watch your players do that than it is for me to be in the uniform all day, all day.
I mean, at the end of the day, players make the plays. You're just there. But definitely credit to you. You coached a really good season.
Thank you. And I still don't like that answer, but I know that that's the truth. I know.
So this is my last question for you. And the job isn't finished. Although, great accomplishment. You guys just won the E8s, but tournament time is now coming. So selection show in a few hours. What is your mindset? What are you preaching to the girls in the locker room? Just talk to me about going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know, I think that these moments between that final buzzer on Saturday and 2:30 today is such an incredible time, because you know that you are still in season and you just went through one of the greatest days of your life. That was one of the greatest days of my life. And you're still in season and there's nothing you can do right now. Like there's no game prep to do because you don't know who you're playing. I can't book a hotel because I don't know where I'm going. So all I can do right now is sit back and relax. And I am really enjoying that. And just, I'm enjoying the period of reflection of this whole weekend. And I've really empowered my team to do that as well. And, you know, I texted them yesterday a long, you know, logistical text about here's how things go. And I said to them, I took my coach hat off and put on my, you know, big sister hat, little auntie, maybe. I'm not ready to say mother, but I said to them, you know, as life has happened, I've learned that there's moments that you're going to want to remember for a long time. And you don't realize that you want to remember the moment until the moment is gone. And so I said to them, I need you to do me a favor. Just take 10 minutes. And Rudy, you can do this too, because you're still in that moment too. Take 10 minutes and open your notes app or take a piece of paper. And I need you to just write down all the things from this weekend that you want to remember. Just sit, just be as detailed as you can so that next week, next year, you know, when you're a washed up coach, you can go back and read that and be brought back to that moment that was so special to you. And I said, you know, for this whole postseason, we've just been fighting for one more day together, just one more day. It's so easy to look towards the championship game when you're playing the quarterfinal game. But our mindset has just been, let's just fight for one more practice together. And that's, you know, thankfully this week we get, you know, another 3-4 practices together. And, you know, at this point it's all gravy. Like this is awesome, but let's make sure we're on the same page. We are going to try and win the next game. And then we will try and win the next game. And that's just what we do. But I think that the difference is whenever our time comes to an end, whether it's Friday, Saturday, the national championship game, we are not going to be nearly as sad as we would have been if we did not win Saturday. And I can live with that. I can live with that.
Respect, Coach. Well,
thank you.
Once again, congrats on winning your first conference championship.
Thank you.
Rooting for you guys. Go represent the E8 in big fashion. And appreciate you getting on.
Thank you. And thank you guys for all you guys do. I've heard a lot about your podcast here, and what you guys do to just expose the Division III athlete is just, that's what we need. What we need is champions to just show what this life is like, because it's hard. It's really hard, but it's worth it. And Ruta, congrats to you too. And good luck. Same thing on the men's side. Go get them.
I got you. Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, we are here with first team all conference player, Utica men's basketball guard, my boy Deion Thompson. How you feeling today, bro?
Good, bro. How are you?
Good. Excited to get you on, bro. Excited to get you on. So just to start it off, bro, obviously we won the chip this year. It's back to back. This is your third ring, but you know, second conference championship. And you're a junior upperclassman here at Utica. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what you've seen from this team that makes it like kind of different from teams in the past.
Yeah. So teams in the past, I feel, especially like my time here, I like came into like a very talented group, like a lot of guys, like just from top to bottom. So, and like everyone has played with each other like years before. So like when I first came in, like my freshman, sophomore year, we didn't have that stage where like we had to figure things out as much as this year, you know. You know, we started winning games like as soon as we started, didn't really lose much as compared to like this year. We lost like a lot of older guys. You know, we were trying different lineups, trying different things out. And it took us a little while to get started, especially when we started conference, we didn't have the best start. So, you know, it was just like figuring out as it goes. As like to other teams, I feel like it was figured out like pretty early.
Yeah, nah, 100%. You guys started rolling right when you needed to be, bro. And now, like you said, EA champs. But I know last year it was your ACL you hurt, right?
Yeah.
So, and Ruta was telling me last year, like, you was putting in mad work in the offseason trying to get back ready. I remember, I think it was this summer, he posted a video of you catching a dunk, and I was like, damn, he must have really went crazy on the rehab. So just talk a little about like the work you put in this offseason to get back to playing at like first team all conference level, and then like how fulfilling it was for you knowing what you've been through and then getting that back-to-back chip.
Yeah, definitely. So it was weird because this summer, you know, I had to put in like twice the amount of work as I did like summers before, just because it's like I got to get the lift in, I got to get the shots up. But then, like, I'm going to physical therapy 3-4 times a week, you know, for 9 months straight. And that took up my entire summer. So I would say, like, putting in more work as usual helped me play, like, at a, like, higher level this year. Like, it's not – I wasn't just, like, getting my shots up, getting my lift in. But, like, going to physical therapy, like, it helped me just in terms of, like, you know, the plyometrics, like, just the strengthening of the legs. So, like, that was huge, definitely.
Do you feel like anything, like, changing your game after that? Like, did you have to switch up anything, or it was still Deion Thompson's game?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I think everything's the same. I don't have the same athleticism as I had prior, definitely. I just don't jump as high. I'm not really, like, as floaty. But, like, it helped my game a lot, just, like, because now I got to rely more on, like, threes or, like, angles or, like, getting past somebody or whatever it is. So, like, it helped a lot, though.
Yeah. I mean, injury is always a little setback, but it makes you, you know, adjust in certain things. And now I keep saying it, but you first team having a great year. And you guys playing Montclair State, that's a really good team in the and the NJAC, they had a really good year as well. Alfred played them like early in the year, and they was a really good team. I was impressed. So I just want a little sneak peek what Deion's thinking going into this game, what you think about that program, and what we should expect from not only you, but like the Pioneers for this game.
Yeah, we're definitely fully confident. We watched them yesterday, and they're really good. Like, they defend well, you know, they press the entire game. They have a lot of guys who can shoot it. So it's just going to be like, it's about us. It's like what we can do to, you know, maybe lessen their possessions or maybe like find ways to break their press to where like maybe they have to switch some things up or whatever the case may be. But definitely confident. The one tournament win we had in 2023 was like, it showed us like we can come here and like compete and definitely play. So we're definitely fully confident. I think everyone's going to come to play, and I think it's going to be a good one, definitely.
Yeah, man. I mean, so we got a fully healthy roster this year, so very comparable to the 2023 year, where I felt like last year we got kind of a bad draw, and also we were, like, kind of hurt at the end of the year. Guys were kind of over it at that point, I felt like. But this year I feel like group is hungry, bro. We got, you know, we're looking to make some noise in this tournament, bro. It's March Madness. But Day, so you're in your junior year, finishing up your junior year, bro. You're about to go into your senior year. And, you know, we have talks about this all the time, but I want you to tell the viewers and all that, like, what are your plans for your career? Like, you have next year, and then you got the rest of your life ahead of you, bro. Like, you're trying to play pro. Like, what's next for you?
Yeah. I think I do. I think I do want to play after college. You know, I have to come back next year and have a really good year again. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, time flies. I remember when I was just a freshman, you know, living on campus in the dorms, and literally next year will be my senior year. Like, it's crazy. But I really even haven't really thought about it like too much, but I will say I definitely do want to continue playing after college.
Word. I could definitely see that, bro. Keep grinding. You a great player. Congrats on the first team and a chip. Good luck this weekend, and I'm going to be rooting for you, bro.
Appreciate it, my boy.
All right. Now we're going to talk about our Only in D3. So, Rude and I tell you a story about what it's like to be a Division III student athlete. Right now, we're out of season, so I don't want to, like, harp on, you know, the misscheduling, being in the weight room with another team. I just want to shout out, like, the love that a lot of Division III schools are getting right now. Like, I'm watching some of these conference tournaments, like your game a prime example, or the Geneseo girls game prime example. It's like a lot of these games are getting sold out. It's very cool to see that, like, the brand is definitely growing, bro. People are starting to understand, like, Division III got real hoopers, and on both sides, men's and women's, there's real hoopers, and it's good to see that people in their communities, their school, are starting to realize and just show out. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, bro. A lot of those championship games were packed, bro. I seen clips from Yeshiva versus Farmingdale, and that gym was OD packed, bro. Like, every side was packed. So definitely, you're 100% right. Crazy environment, and it's a great time to be affiliated with Division III basketball right now. But my Only in D3 story, I got a quick one. Just, I want to give a shout out to like anyone while I was on the court this year that, like, just said a nod about the pod. Like, I always thought that was kind of fire, bro. Like, just, you know, step on the court and be like, yo, I'm watching the pod, this shit's fire. And
that is a good point, bro. A lot of people Like when I'm walking into gyms or I'm warming up, a coach would be like, yo, your pod is tough, or I'm on the court, a player, like, yo, keep going. So that's definitely a good point.
Yeah, like, and especially like, you know, those Naz guys, bro, I got a lot of respect for them. You know what I'm saying? I know you got to get to class soon, my boy, but
you're good. I'll go late.
But like, you know, first one that came up to me was Jack Broderick. He was cool as hell, bro. He was like, yo, like, you doing that pod, like, that's big time, bro. Keep it going. Savage. So like, definitely shout out them. Like, those guys, they was mad cool. Obviously your boy Gabe, you know, some of the coaches on staff, the Hardwick coach, like all them, like, for, there's probably more that I'm missing, but just shout out all, like, anyone that's showed that type of love. Sure. But a story for D3. So, you know, when you're at the end of the bench, bro, especially the last like month for me, like, you know, you gotta, at some point you gotta like take your ego out of it and just have fun and like support the team. And for me, like, I sit next to like Iggy, Jaden, and Ethan, and like those guys are some of like the funniest guys on the team. So like, we'll be joking and stuff like that. Obviously locked in on the game, but having our moments. And there was one moment, you know, we're up by a lot in the second half. I'm like, yo, E, we might get in today, fam. Like, it might be the day. It was the chip day, so I was like, yo, we might get in, lock in, bro. And he's like, all right, bet. So we're in the middle of the game, and Polly goes through their subs, and they call a timeout. So one of our assistant coaches, Coach Zoll, he sees it. He sees that, you know, subs checking in, so he goes over to Coffee. He's like, I don't know exactly what it said, but I was reading the conversation a little bit, but I think he was like, yo, the subs from Polly just came in, and Coffee's like walking by himself, and Zoll comes up to him and says that, like, yo, the sub just came in, and Coffee goes, I don't give a fuck, the game's not fucking over. He's in the middle of battle, bro. He was locked in.
He locked.
Bro, I peeped that, like, Coffee say, I don't give a fuck, and I was like, damn, E, we not getting in today, bro. I was like, all right, fuck it. But then, like, there was like a minute left in the game. One of the Poly kids that hit just like a jumper, and then Coffee like ran onto the court, and he was like, he did the subs real quick, and like he looked right at me. He was like, so it was crazy. I appreciated that nod from him, dead ass. It was, I didn't care like going in 30 seconds. Like, I was just fucking happy to be out there, bro, and just like being able to like be on the court when the final buzzer sounded and like jump with my teammates, like, and like in that huddle, bro, is awesome. So that's my only in D3 story. Cool moments.
Like, bro, but the season's not over, bro. We gotta represent the E. You gotta represent the EA. Keep going, bro. Big one. Montclair State. I'm definitely rooting for y'all. But appreciate
you, family.
Appreciate all the support. Definitely keep it up. Like this episode. Subscribe to the channel. Follow us at Not Even D2. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.